Okay,
it's on Robin.
It's rolling. They're on Robin.
In this week's Sedra, Parshas Boy, I'd like to focus this week more on the Yesidus Mitzrayim aspect of the mitzvahs in Parshas Boy. This is the first Parsha where, since the beginning of the Torah, we really have a whole listing of mitzvahs rather than having one mitzvah every few parshas. Rachel said one mitzvah of Puruvu. In Lech Lecha we had a mitzvah of Bris Milah. Then we had in Parshas Vayishlach a mitzvah of Gedan Noshe. This is the first parsha where the Torah actually starts with a whole listing of parsha of mitzvahs. And in fact, remember the first Rashi in the Torah, Rashi says that the Torah should have started with the Chodesh Zelachem, started really from this parsha. And therefore I feel it's important to get the idea behind the mitzvahs and understand the concept of the Torah is telling us if this is really the beginning of the Torah. If in that kind of level.
What do you mean that this parsha starts with one? Because there have been mitzvahs before this parsha.
One every few parshas.
This
is the parsha where we
large
quantity of mitzvahs, and the Torah should have actually started with that, according to Rashi, the first Rashi in the Torah, because this is a parsha where the listing of mitzvahs starts. And therefore, I'd like to focus on the first mitzvah I have to focus on today is mitzvah of matzah. The parsha says in parsha in Perik Beis, Pasuk Kesvav. The pasuk says, "Shivas yomim matzah techelu." For 7 days you should eat matzah. Ach b'yom harishon tashbisu se'oy mibateichem. But for the first day, you shall tashbisu, get rid of se'oy mibateichem, se'oy from your houses. Ki chol oichel chometz v'nechrasa hanefesh in Yisrael, because he eats chometz to get koris. Mayim Harishon Yom Hashvi from the first day until the seventh day. Now, this is a parasha that gives us an understanding of the chomer, the stringency of matzah. There are very, very few mitzvahs in the Torah that by merely doing an act that generally is permitted suddenly becomes osur. And on that you even get chorus. The only other case we find that is by Yom Kippur. But we have here an extremely harsh punishment for on the mitzvah of matzah. A person eats chometz during the year, he gets koris. Why is that? Why is that? During Pesach he gets koris. Why is that? Second of all, again we're not looking into the reason behind it, but what lessons we can learn from it. Why did Rabbein Shleilam choose to give us this mitzvah of matzah? What is the matzah supposed to identify? What's it supposed to teach us? So the Alter von Kelm, Saba von Kelm, says as follows. He says that there was an idea here of, but the matzah in Mitzrayim, besides the fact that they may not eat chametz, there was an aspect here that the pasuk says that the Klal Yisrael left Mitzrayim terem yechmotz, before it became chametz. The pasuk says that in pasuk. In Pasuk Perik Beis, Pasuk Lama Tes, Vayoifu et Abotzeik Asher Hitzim in Mitzrayim, Ugois Matzois, they baked them as Matzois, Kilo Chomets, because they weren't Chomets, Ki Gorshu in Mitzrayim, because they were driven out of Mitzrayim, Vlo Yochlu Lehis Mamea, Vlo Gam Seder Le'osu Vlehem, it did not turn into Chomets, and it did not have Seder Le'derech. So what's the idea behind that as well? Which means, besides from the mitzvah of chometz, there was a fact, there was just an aspect here that prevented them from having chometz because they were driven out. What's the idea behind that? Why did HaKadosh Baruch Hu not allow them to wait till the chometz, actually the bread turning into chometz? Why did they have to here wait until the garth Mitzrayim, even before their dough turned sour? So the Alter von Kelm says as follows. He says, as a very, very famous Mishnah, the Mishnah says in Perek Vav Mishnah Dalad of Ovis, the Mishnah says, "Pas Melech Toichel, Mayim Shem Tishter." A person has to, in order to reach a level of greatness in Torah, has to be ready to eat Pas Melech, bread and water, bread and salt. Yeah. Obviously, this is not talking about that a person if a person may not eat anything else, the person has to be prepared to do that. And he says that the concept, the idea of Pascha Melech Toichel is the idea that the only way a person can actually receive a measure of Chochmah that's going to belong to him is if he is ready to understand that life does not have to be built on luxuries. Life does not have to be built on physical nicety, physical luxuries, physical comforts. Because once a person reaches a level where physical niceties are part of his everyday being, Chochmah is driven away. Chochmah and comfort do not work together. Chochmah has to be acquired. Chochmah has to be worked for. Physicalities, luxuries, are the opposite end of Chochmah. And he says that if a person starts becoming interested in Gashmius, the more interested he is, the further away he's going to become a Chochmah. And we see that from the Pasuk. The Pasuk says, by Matzah, the Matzah did not have time to arrive. And he explains as follows. He explains that the more a person runs after money, by definition, the more money he will need. The more money he'll need, he'll acquire, and by definition, he'll need more. And therefore, his life is one big running after his own tail. There's no such thing ever as a person who is seriously interested in physicality, seriously physical, interested in the physical comforts of life, money or pleasure or something that is a physical state, can possibly be satisfied at the end of his days. Whenever he has something, he needs more. And it's a very, very sad thing. It's a very, very sad thing. There's a story once heard from Noach Weinberg that there was a woman who was working in show business. And her dream was to have a Rolls Royce that she's going to be able to pay with in cash, going to be delivered to her with a bow by a man dressed in a suit, in a chauffeur suit. That was her dream. She came from a poor home, and that was her dream. And she worked, and she worked, and after a few years, her success brought her to the level that she could choose her car and wait for it to be delivered. And that day was a beautiful day, and there's a honk outside, and there's a man in a beautiful suit with a cap and this shiny Rolls Royce with a big ribbon around it, and there it was delivered. And she went down the path, she paid for the man, gave him a check, and she sat inside the Rolls Royce and she burst into tears. Now what? Now what? I've been working all my life for this, I've got it now. Where do I go from here? She, Baruch Hashem, she understood that there's more to life than a Rolls Royce, and she went from there to seminary. What she did with the Rolls Royce, I don't know. But she went to seminary. She went to seminary because she realized that her dreams, her physical dreams, have ended, and she's going to be dissatisfied. She thought that she's going to be happy now, and she wasn't. There's no such thing as being happy through that. The famous, it's a joke, but it has a lot of truth to it. There were two neighbors, and when they were 17 years old, they both got themselves a new motorbike. So one fellow shows up his motorbike, and the guy is very jealous. So he buys a motorbike with a 100cc engine. So the neighbor sees a 100cc engine. That's a decent motorbike. So he bought himself a small car. The other guy says he bought himself a small car. He bought himself a medium-sized car, a family car. That guy bought a family car. Eventually it went on and on and on until one guy bought a Rolls Royce. Guy buys a Rolls Royce. I've got to buy a Rolls Royce too. He buys a Rolls Royce too with every modcon. You can imagine. Every modcon. A stereo system that has 15 cracked CDs playing simultaneously. An oven inside. A champagne fridge. Everything you possibly want. Anyway, he's by the traffic lights. And he sees his friend in the other Rolls Royce. So he gives him a hoot. And his friend doesn't answer. So he bangs on the window. Says, "The uncle, look, I've got the same Rolls Royce as you, with everything inside it." Doesn't answer. Knock, 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 knock. All the cars are hooting him, and the lights turn already twice. No answer. Knocking on the window. Anyway, eventually, after 5 minutes, the window opens and steam comes out of the window there of the Rolls Royce. He says, what do you want? He said, "I just want to show you. Look at my Rolls Royce. I bought it, everything like you, even better." He said, "For that, you got me out of the shower." To show me Rossi, God got me out of the shower. It's not funny. That is mamish what life is all about. A person can get a new house, but the next day has got better. And therefore, we have to understand that the more we follow, the more we follow the Joneses, or we follow the Cohens, the less happy we're going to be. And therefore, the Pasuk is telling us like this. The Pasuk is telling us, HaKadosh Baruch Hu taught us, that you think just by leaving Mitzrayim, you can have chayrus. Just by leaving Mitzrayim, the shackles of slavery, you're going to have chayrus. There's no such thing. Unless you understand that slavery can be in every situation, unless you get rid of the needs for physicalities, you're going to stay the same avodim all your life. HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us the obligation of chometz and the obligations of matzah, and to show us the differences, to show us that if a person is looking to, and waiting for his chometz to rise, he can wait and he can wait and he can wait, and he'll eventually get there. He's going to stay in Eved. To leave Mitzrayim, we had to leave on the back of a matzah. We had to leave on the back of knowing there's a mitzvah of matzah, that we don't have to wait for the matzah to be absolutely perfect to get on in life. To leave slavery, we have to leave slavery by eating matzahs. We have to leave slavery by knowing that we do not need the physical comforts in order to keep us going in life. That's why Kodesh Baruch Hu Dafka gave us a mitzvah of matzah. And that could be why the Pasuk says, "Kichal oichal chometz v'nechrasa hanefesh ahi." Whoever eats chometz on Pesach hasn't understood that lesson. He hasn't understood that at a certain time in the year we have to learn our lesson to just leave behind the extras, leave behind the risen dough. A person who is doing that is v'nechrasa hanefesh ahi. That person is ultimately killing himself. He has no spiritual life to him. He's being so driven towards physicalities, his spiritual life is dead. The nechus on nefesh is not necessarily a punishment. It's a fact. And that's what happens to you.
Question. What about the table of Rebbe? Don't care without Rashid can come this
one. Excellent. I want to come to this now.
Okay.
There is, though, an understanding brought down in the Gemaras, that many of the Tanoim were very wealthy people. The Gemara says that a dira noe is marchiv in daiti shalodom, a nice apartment, expands the mind of a person. Does that mean that since we do not need physicalities, we do not have to look for physicalities, we may not enjoy physicalities? Does that mean that we may not have any connection with the physical world? Chas v'shalom. Not having connection with the physical world is not Judaism. It's Buddhism, it's extreme forms of Catholicism, but it's not Judaism. Judaism is an understanding that we do not have to have physicalities. But if we do, we have to know what to do with them. And we can use them for the correct thing. A Shabbos meal is supposed to be enjoyed. A holiday is supposed to be had if you need it for your Torah learning. A person is supposed to enjoy the food that they're eating. If you don't enjoy food, you don't make a brach on it. If a person mamish dislikes the food, you don't make a brach on it. He's supposed to enjoy the food. The more understanding you put into it, the more you can appreciate your bonus shoyim, the more you can appreciate your wife or your friends or your parents, what they've done for you. Mm-hmm. A person has to appreciate what he's having, what Hashem has given him in every single level of his life. And if a person doesn't look at physicalities as a gift, and looks at physicalities as an onus, as a burden, then he won't appreciate what people are giving him. And it's chas v'shalom. Many, many marriage problems happen because the wife makes her husband a cup of tea, and the husband is too busy thinking about Rabbi Akiva Eger, he doesn't thank, he doesn't appreciate it, she doesn't bother making a cup of tea. And things deteriorate from there. And therefore, of course, within the physical world, there's an understanding that we do not have to look and strive for the physical, but when we do have the physical, when we do have the luxuries, we have to thank the Kodesh Baruch Hu for that. And this is how the Pasuk carries on. The Pasuk says, in Perek Beis, Pasuk Lamed Dalud, the Pasuk says like this, I think it's my vote, and I think it's Emeso. The Pasuk says, "Vayisa ha'omes b'tzeikoi terem yechmotz." The nation carried the dough before we came from it. Misharoisam svurois v'simloisam al shechmom. They carried it on their shoulders. Says Rashi, what did they carry on their shoulders? They carried a matz on their shoulders, says Rashi. Terem al shechmam. Afal pi shebehema is harba hilichi mohem. Although they had plenty of behemoths with them, machavim hoyu es mitzvah. They appreciated the mitzvah. Which means Rashi says, why did they carry on their shoulders? Why didn't they carry the guitar on their shoulders? Or their, I don't know what they had, the other things that they appreciated. Why didn't they carry that on their shoulders? Why were they carrying the mats on their shoulders? Says Rashi, although they could have put it on the behemoth, the fact is they carried the mats on their shoulders because they loved the matzah. Says in the next pasuk, Uvnei Yisrael also kedvam Moshe, and Bnei Yisrael did as Moshe said, V'yishra'alu m'Mitzrayim klei kesev v'klei zov v'smolos. And they borrowed from Mitzrayim silver and gold vessels and clothes. Next pasuk says, V'Hashem nosn eschem ha'om be'enim Mitzrayim, Hashem gave the chem of the nation the eyes of Mitzrayim, V'yashilum, and they lent them things, V'yinatzis Mitzrayim, and they completely emptied out Mitzrayim. Why are these psukim together? Why is the psukim put in here that they carried the matzah and then they borrowed? I mean, the borrowing is not the same, I mean, it's in order what happened, but the sequence of psukim is not very, it's not really in order here. Yeah, so they didn't terminate it. By the way, they carried the Tzaykim out of Mitzrayim, and the first borrowed the staff and left Mitzrayim. Why is it so important that they carry the things on their shoulders? What's the Pasuk telling us here, and why in this order? So I want to say that the fact that Klal Yisrael carried the matzahs on their shoulders shows us that they understood the lesson of matzah. They understood the lesson of the chavivus of the mitzvah. They loved the lesson of matzah. They loved the realization that living in the rat race is not chayus. They realized it to such a level that they wanted to carry it on their shoulders and remind themselves constantly that that is what's important. Since they did that, and they realized the importance in life, the next pasuk says, Bnei Yisrael also kidvam Moshe. Bnei Yisrael did as Moshe told them. What is that Moshe told them? Exactly Moshe had in mind that they should take out of Mitzrayim the Kli Kesev, the Kli Zov, that level of Kedusha, that level of holiness, that level of piety, they kept when they took and they borrowed things from Mitzrayim. They didn't get carried away with the financial side, seeing the glitter in front of them, and they got completely wiped away by seeing all the luxuries and all the gold and silver. No, they only took out the gold and silver Kedvam Moshe, exactly how Moshe had in mind. Which means the lesson of the importance of how little one should have, the importance of physicalities they had in mind, and therefore, in the next pasuk it says, they followed through the command of taking the gold and silver exactly as it should. And the next pasuk says, because they had this lesson clear, because they knew how money should be used, because they knew Kedvam Moshe, they knew that to take the Kesef and the Zav, only Kedvam Moshe, HaKadosh Baruch Hu Natan Eschenu Om La'ini Mitzrayim, HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave them special Sefer Panasa. And the Rashi says that the Mitzrayim offered them double as much as they asked for, because Hashem allows Klal Yisrael, if people know how to use Gashmias for the correct way, to help them achieve their goals. But sometimes the Kodesh Baruch Hu Chas V'Shalom can give a person Parnasa, can give a person physicalities to wipe them away. HaKadosh Baruch Hu should all give us a shefa of Gashmias, an abundance of Gashmias, not because we need it, but because it will help us in Avodas Hashem. And this is what the lesson of matzah is. The lesson of matzah is that chayrus is done only when we realize that the least we need in the physical world is the more free we're going to be. However, if we do have brachos and HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we have to do it through Kidvam Moshe. We have to do it the way HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells us to do it. Use it for tzedaka, use it for gemilas chasadim, appreciate it and enjoy it the way it should be enjoyed. The Pasuk says in Perek Beis, Pasuk Chavov, V'hoyo ki yoymer aleichem b'neichem, and it will be when your children say to you, Mo havoida hazeis lachem, what is this havoida to you? V'amartem zebach Pesach hu l'Hashem, it is a sacrifice of Pesach to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, asher posach habatu b'nei Yisrael Mitzrayim, etc., etc. In the Haggadah, we have the four bonim. The Chacham, the Rasha, the Tom, the Sheinidei, and the Shoh. This Pasuk is referring to the Rasha. This pasuk is referring to the Rasha. The pasuk says, the question, "Ma havoda zo islachem?" And we answer, "Matan tevach pesachu l'Hashem, asher pasach, etc., etc." You look in the Haggadah, it's slightly different. The Haggadah says, "Af atachat keishin of break his teeth," and you should say to him, and you should say to him, "Ba'avuzeh osa Hashem li b'seisim Mitzrayim," because of this, HaKadosh Baruch Hu did it to me. Li v'loy loy, me and not to him. V'ilo osa, if you would have, and if you would have been there, nothing would have happened. First of all, the question was li v'loy loy, me and not to him. Li v'loy atah, li v'loy lecha. What's that li v'loy loy? And also, what's the pasuk and the matter elov? So we have to understand what's going on here with this Russia. There is here discussion between the father and the son. What's the discussion? The Ben Russia knows all about Yetzias Mitzrayim. What does he know? What does he know? He knows about Yetzias Mitzrayim. He knows about the Nisim. He knows about the Shechita of the Korban Pesach. He knows why you shef the Korban Pesach, because Korban Pesach is ultimately sacrificing the Avodah Zorah of the Mitzrayim. He knows that's the reason why we make it visible, we don't break any bones, that you should see in front of us that we're roasting the Korban Pesach. He understands all that. He understands the conclusion of the Korban Pesach is a totally logical mitzvah. To uproot from ourselves any inkling, any connection, any bind that we have with Avodah Zarah of Mitzrayim. He understands all that. And he understands that was critical at the time of Mitzrayim to uproot from ourselves any connection we have with the Avodah Zarah of Mitzrayim. However, what was unclear? He was unclear about the fact that today we have to bring a Korban Pesach. Today, in the time of Beis Midrash, have to bring the Korban Pesach. Yeah. During the time of Mitzrayim, Halolo Ivde Avodah Zarah, Valolo Ivde Avodah Zarah, Klal Yisrael Sovel Avodah Zarah, and the same Sovel Avodah Zarah. And therefore, in order to make a clear definition who we belong to, which side we are, we had to take the Korban Pesach, shecht it and roast it whole. He understood that. But why says the Korban, why says the Rosh Hashanah, Ma Havodah Hazayis Lachem? Why do you have to do it? Why in these generations is it necessary for us to start to bring a Korban Pesach? Where is Avodah Zarah today? Who needs it?
The Talmud of Beis HaMikdash was Avodah Zarah,
no? Not the Tleh. Yeah, Tleh was the whole idealism, the whole ideology of the Tleh. We'll get to it soon. Yeah.
Is there also an angle to that? Because I heard that some people that move to Haifa over Pesach, they're worried that maybe they have a fear of the Korban Pesach today.
To Haifa? Why to Haifa? They're fine. And why does Haifa help you?
But it's not your assignment. I think that's Pesach.
So why did you move to I don't know.
If no one's thinking about it, they just won't be reminded.
Now, so what do we tell this? This is the Russia. What do we tell this Russia? First of all, we have to understand that this Russia is out to attack the Torah. He's using his logic, his mind, to attack the Torah, and this is the most dangerous. The most dangerous Russia is not a Russia who knows nothing, it's a Russia who knows half things. This Russia knows that the idea behind the Korban Pesach has all these ideas he mentioned beforehand. But he doesn't have a question and he has an answer. He says he wants an excuse now not to keep the Torah. That's an excuse. He doesn't want to keep the Torah. On a question, there are answers. On an answer, there are no answers. This is an answer. It's an excuse why he doesn't want to keep the Torah. And therefore, we don't even bother speaking to him. We say, "V'amartem zevach pesachu l'Hashem." We mountain and we say, "V'amartem elo." We mountain and we say to ourselves and we say to the people around us, Zevach Pesach Chud Hashem. You have to make sure we're not influenced by these people. People who know a lot about Torah and don't want to keep it are the most dangerous. This is the Russia we're dealing with. And the father says, the answer is, that the mitzvah of Korban Pesach is not a logical mitzvah. The mitzvah of Korban Pesach is the fact that we learn from this mitzvah, one of the first mitzvahs in the Torah, that we don't do the Korban Pesach because we know the reason behind it. Tamei HaMitzvah does not mean the reasons behind the mitzvah. Tamei HaMitzvah means the taste to make it easier for us to keep it. From ta'am, from a taste. It does not mean that we know the ideas behind it. We have no idea. How can we understand the depth and the infinite wisdom of Kodesh Baruch Hu, why he's doing this? Oh, I understand why Hashem is doing it. How do we know? Even the psychologists spend enough time working on human heads. Can we work on Kodesh Baruch Hu's heads? So how is it possible for us to think about that? What's the reason why Kodesh Baruch Hu gave it to us? Tamei HaMitzvah means we have a certain taste of doing the mitzvah. And the Pasuk is telling us that what the Father is saying here is that the Korban Pesach, listen to this very, very carefully, this is the sod. What the Korban Pesach is telling us is that the Korban Pesach is a totally illogical mitzvah. That today, itzaka doesn't make sense. But don't think we're keeping the Korban Pesach because we left Mitzrayim. I'll give you a proof. Don't think we're keeping the matzahs because we left Mitzrayim. It's not true. We find in the Torah that Avraham Avinu also had matzahs. And Avraham Avinu hadn't left Mitzrayim. And therefore, the idea behind mitzvahs is not whether I understand the logic and go with it. The idea behind mitzvahs is because the Kodesh Baruch Hu wants us to do mitzvahs. And he wants us in order to earn our existence. It should not be Nama Diksufa. V'amaten Zevach Pesach Hu Lashem. What he's saying here is that in the schus of Pesach Hu Lashem, that the schus is because all we're doing is for Kodesh Baruch Hu because he wants us to do it. What does that mean? We're doing the mitzvah of Korban Pesach not because we left Mitzrayim. No, we left Mitzrayim because we have to do Korban Pesach. We left Mitzrayim because we have to eat matzah. We have parents not in order to respect them. We have parents and therefore we respect them. In order we have to learn respect, we've got to have parents. And therefore this mitzvah of Korban Pesach that ultimately makes perfect sense in the time of Mitzrayim, where they're serving sheep, especially does not make sense later generations, to give us a key to every mitzvah in the Torah. Mitzvahs in the Torah are not there for us to understand and for us to do because something happened. There's no because. The only because we have is because the Kodesh Baruch Hu told us to do it, and the Kodesh Baruch Hu wants us to be mezakas in the mitzvah.
But there really is a because. I mean, there has to be a because.
Because Kodesh Baruch Hu wants us to do it.
But he has given a because in his own.
Of course he has a because. He has the biggest because. But we can't do this because of Hashem's because. We don't do this because we understand what's going on. We have no idea. HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants us to do it because one because. He doesn't want us to namad ksufa, to have free bread. He wants us to earn our existence. Kisoyavas Mitzrayim Nizbach LaHashem. I want to add in here. That's so far the Beis HaLevi. I want to add in here. This fits in beautifully with Kisoyavas Mitzrayim Nizbach LaHashem Alekim. This is in Perik Ches Pasuk Chofes. The Pasuk says, "Vayena Moshe Lo Nochin Nasis Kein Kisoyavas Mitzrayim Nizbach LaHashem Alekinu." Which is Moshe Rabbeinu beforehand is saying to Rabbeinu Shlalom that he is nervous for Klal Yisrael to bring up the Korban Pesach. Why? Because it's a Te'eva Mitzrayim. That was the Avodah Zarah of Mitzrayim. Why did Avodah Zarah serve a Tele?
Why
in Mitzrayim was Avodah Zarah a Tele? Between you and me, if I was serving an Avodah Zarah, Chas V'Sholem, I think of far more superior animals to serve. Yeah. You serve an elephant. You serve a lion. Yeah. You serve a killer whale. I mean, these are serious animals. You know, animals that have power. Why serve a tle? Pathetic little thing. So the Balaam must say that's exactly why they served it. The reason why they served the tleh was exactly because it had absolutely no power to defend itself. And a sheep has no power to defend itself whatsoever. It doesn't have nails, doesn't have claws, it doesn't have sharp teeth, it won't bite you if it attacks you, it won't do anything to protect itself. Mitzrayim served that ideology. Mitzrayim served that ideology of what I think needs to be protected, that is what I'm going to do. Which means what I feel is correct to do, what my emotional self feels needs help, that is what I'm going to put my attention to. Which means the ideology of what I feel is a correct thing, I feel it's correct to save and to look after defenseless sheep, that is going to be my Avodah Zarah. That is going to be the symbol of my Avodah Zarah Mitzrayim. These poor defenseless sheep is what made the Avodah Zarah. Sefer Kadosh Baruch would take these sheep and shech them. Why? The poor defenseless sheep? No. Because in Yiddishkeit, you do as the Kadosh Baruch Hu tells you to do. You do things because what you think is Rachmanis sometimes is Achzorius. And what we think is Achzorius is sometimes Rachmanis. To kill out men, women and children from Amalek is Rachmanis. To have Rachmanis on Amalek is Achzorius. And the idea behind it is to shef the Mitzrayim, to shef that very ideology of Mitzrayim, and to show us that the mitzvahs we do is not because we understand them, it's because the Kodesh Baruch Hu told us to do them. And if we understood that deeply enough, every excuse we can possibly come up with in our day-to-day life not to keep a mitzvah is absolutely nothing compared to what we should be doing if we know we're doing it because the Kodesh Baruch Hu told us to do it. I'm not feeling as fresh, and maybe the Kodesh Baruch Hu doesn't want it from me, I'm too tired. It doesn't exist. Hashem wanted to do the mitzvah, there's no reason behind it. We have to do it because the Kodesh Baruch Hu told us. We can't put our own reasoning behind it. And therefore this is the idea behind the first mitzvah, one of the first mitzvahs in the Torah, of Korban Pesach, to teach us that mitzvahs are there because the Kodesh Baruch Hu gave it to us, not because we understand it. That is a fight between the frum world and the secular world today. I'm not talking about the secular world, the people who don't know, but the people who don't want to hear. The Reform movement has something called Rabbinic Judaism and something called Prophetic Judaism. Prophetic Judaism is being nice, maybe buying Israel bonds, looking after your fellow man, looking out for the underdog. If you look at so much of the underdogs that in Reform movements today, they have bar mitzvahs for the dogs. They have whole celebrations with cakes, with tefillin, everything. They have serious celebrations for dogs. Yeah. I have an article at home where there's a temple, a certain temple in San Francisco, where they make celebrations for the Prince celebration for the dogs. And it's I said, listen, it's a dog. You got to look after dogs. You got to look after dogs, but you don't have to look after yourself. A person can do whatever they want, and they can chas v'shalom, and they can do znus, and they can eat themselves out, mamish chorus, eating yom kippur and everything else, because they feel that to be kind to dogs is good, but to eat kosher isn't. That is mamish mitzrayim. It's right, well, whatever I felt should be good or should be looked after, we look after. Whatever I feel is not important, I don't do. We take that and we shecht it as quickly as we can. Before we even left Mitzrayim, we shechted it. Leave it, shecht it, cut it up to pieces, eat it. Burn it in its original state to show ourselves that we have no connection with that bechlal. Yeah, we have human rights groups who are looking after Saddam Hussein now. We have human rights groups who are free today. Hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of Palestinian terrorists in order to bring back three dead Jews. I'm sorry?
One of them is a Druze.
And one of them is a Druze. What right do we have that? What right do we have this? What kind of thing is this? To let out hundreds of terrorists out of jail, of these people who have a track record of going out and looking to kill Jews, to bring back a few dead soldiers? I feel very sorry for them. Never feel sorry for the families. We can cry for them. But that is mamish a typical secular approach. Nebuch, we've got to show our kindness. We've got to show how moral we are to the rest of the world, how much we care for our dead soldiers. Yeah? And what about caring for the live Israelis? What about caring for these people who are men, women and children who have had the families killed out by terrorists, and these terrorists are called and put into jail? What about feeling sorry for them? No. That is mamish worshipping the Talel of Mitzrayim, feeling sorry for the wrong things and having the chzoris on the right things. What's the chzoris? And have the chzoris on these poor pensioners in the country who can't afford the heating in the winter. They cut down their pension. Having rachmanis on dead people and having a chzoris on the live. That is mamish the Talel of Mitzrayim. You have to shecht it. You have nothing to do with this. This is what the mitzvah is telling us. Before we even leave Mitzrayim, we've got to know that. The pasuk says, "Peri Yitzayim Pasuk Yitzayim." That is a shecht in the Talmud. Totally slaughtering that ideology. Peri Yitzayim Pasuk Yitzayim. The pasuk says, "Ushmatim Esam Matzis." And you shall look after the matzahs, keep it etzem hayoyim azeh, because on that day, hoyseisi esiv hoyseihem, I took out the multitudes from Eretz Yisrael. Says Rashi, the famous Rashi, shmatim etzem matzahs. Rabbi Yashia oime, al tie kire etzem matzahs el etzem mitzvahs. Don't call it matzahs, call it mitzvahs. Kederach she'ei machmitz etzem matzahs, just like you don't allow matzahs to become comets. Kach ein machmitz nenta mitzvah. So it doesn't allow mitzvahs to become comets. Ela in bo liyotcha asei oisom miyad. If it comes to your hands, do it immediately. What the pasuk is really saying in a level of drush is ushmatem esam mitzvahs. Guard the mitzvahs. Mitzvah should bo liyotcha al tach mitzvah. Mitzvah that comes to your hands, don't allow it to become comets. So the Manal of Geset asked, Rav Kahan asked, why do we learn this mitzvah from Dr. from Matzah? Why do we have a clear mitzvah from Torah, do's reasons? Why do we Dr. learn this mitzvah from Matzah? What's the idea behind it? So he said two beautiful points. He says, number one, that matzahs need no positive action to make them chometz. You don't have to do something to them to make them chometz. But the mere fact that you have flour and water just lying there, that itself is chometz. That teaches us that certain mitzvahs one doesn't have to do anything to make the mitzvah chometz. Just the mere fact that you don't do it with reasons, just the mere fact that you don't come to a shir on time, that itself makes a mitzvah unfit. That itself makes the whole idea behind the mitzvah makes the mitzvah not roi. The matzah is teaching us another mitzvah, you have to actually do it. You've got to eat on Yom Kippur. You don't learn a mitzvah of vision from eating on Yom Kippur. You learn a mitzvah of vision from matzah. That even by doing nothing, by doing nothing itself, that passive action is a derogatory thing, is a thing that's going to ruin the mitzvah. That's one idea. The other idea behind matzah is that once matzah becomes chometz, there is absolutely nothing you can do about it to clear up the situation. There's nothing you can do. Once it's chometz. There's nothing you can do. There's certain opportunities people have in life. And, you know, they always say it's knock knock jokes. Yeah, knock knock, who's there? Opportunity. Can't be. Why not? Opportunity doesn't knock twice. That is Zerizus. Zerizus. Adam, do you really think that joke was funny?
I don't know.
Oh, I see. But the Maisa, that is the idea behind this mitzvah. The mitzvah of Maisa teaches us that opportunity does not twice. Mitzvahs have to be done with reasons. There's such a difference between coming to shul on time and coming to shul for Baruch Hu. There's such a difference between coming to learning on time and coming to learning 5 minutes late. It shows so much with a human being. It shows so much not choshev. The same people who are always late for davening will be 2 hours early in an airport. Why? Because that's important. That isn't. A Boeing show is important. It should be at least important as an airline. No, one's important and one isn't. Ushmatim with matzahs means that the mitzvah of matzahs has got to teach us the basics of zrizus. The pasuk says, in Perek Yud Beis, pasuk Lamud, I want to end off with this. Now I've been through this pasukim. I'm sure everyone's been through this pasukim many times. But the lesson, I think, is unbelievable. The pasuk says in Perek Beis, pasuk Lamed, "Vayakom Paroi Lailahu." Paroi got up, and that night, b'chol avodah, b'chol Mitzrayim, and all of the avodah, all of Mitzrayim. Now, Rabbi Yisrael, where's he waking up from? What happened here? What night did he wake up on? But Yochum, what night did he wake up on? Let's understand this. Moshe Rabbeinu came to Paroi, a short while before that, and told him, by the way, Paroi is going to be, you've seen Makristol now? Choshech? Wasn't so much fun. Okay. Tell me, how did deal with Deve? Also wasn't. Okay, tell me. I have to tell you that nothing is going to be like Makris B'chayos. There's going to be such an outcry in the shrine. There never was such an outcry ever. You think it's bad? You wait for this one. Every Mitzri who's a B'chayos is going to die. And if you don't have a B'chayos, somebody else will die in your household. Something's going to happen. The oldest, something in the household that's happened. It's different with Russia. You wait for Makris B'chayos. And by the way, Parik, just by the way, off the record, are you a B'chayos? Are you a B'chayos? Okay, fine. I'm just asking for information. I'm just asking, you're a B'chayos too. Okay. Therefore, we're warned now of an oncoming disaster that's going to happen in Mitzrayim that is inevitable. Unless Paro immediately sends it to the beginning of Mitzrayim, Moshe has an absolute track record to the split second. Everything he says is absolutely true to the nth degree. And Paro goes to bed. Vayokom. He didn't. Says Rashi, Vayokom. He woke up, says Rashi. Listen to this. Pasuk Lamed. Vayokom Paro, says Rashi, one word. Memi Tosoi. He got up from his bed. Not got up. He didn't fall asleep trembling. He's been up with big bags under his eyes for nights. And he hasn't been able to sleep. And he woke up, he fell asleep, finally on his arm, on his desk, in his study, in his palace. He got up from bed, which means he went to bed, he got undressed, got in his pajamas, took his little fluffy slippers off, and lay down in his big, comfortable bed. That was Paro. Are you crazy? Are you on sugar? This guy needs his head tested. He must be absolutely out of his mind. Imagine there's a prediction that tonight at 11 o'clock, Rahman al-Islam, Syria are going to attack with nuclear bomb. And they already have the thing, and nothing we can do to stop them. Nothing we can do to stop them. They already have all the missiles ready there, and they have there, and there's no way we can stop them. No problem. I'm just going to sleep. Go to bed. Fall asleep. And in the middle of the night, you wake up. Oh, I can hear the air right. It's very fast. This guy needs a head tested. That was Paro. What's the shot in that?
Yeah, it's a shot. Didn't go to sleep.
He kind of needs to go. He needs to visit a loony bin. The guy has to visit a loony bin.
Could it be that he was on his bed thinking about the whole thing going to happen, and then he acts out due to fear that it says, well, I can't, then you regain consciousness? Could it be?
I don't know, but I think it's a bit of a stretch in Chatham Apostle. He had a nervous breakdown and he's shivering in his bed until he fell into a fit of sleep. But Yochum Paralila means he got out of bed. He got up from his bed and he got up. He managed had a good night's sleep. Until then. He probably had an early night. It was like a man and a husband and wife went to a doctor. And the doctor told the husband that, by the way, you've got one day left to live. One day left to live. Anyway, so that night they're talking and talking about all the wonderful times they had together. And anyway, after 1-2 o'clock in the morning, the wife said to her husband, I'm sorry, I've got to go to sleep. He said, what do you mean? We're discussing all the wonderful things, all the pleasantries of the honeymoon we had and everything. He said, listen, I've got to get up tomorrow. You don't have to get up tomorrow. I've got to get up tomorrow. This is Paro. You know, he's got nothing to get up for tomorrow. He went to bed early. Well, you crazy. Stay up. Says Bianca Galinsky, there's somebody else over Yochum Baboike. Who's the Yochum Baboike? Vayakim Avoyke in a Chumash. Arvam Vayashkim Avram Ba Vayashkim Avram Ba Boyke. Avram Vina got up in the morning. Got up from where? Nimi Tosu. Avram Vina went to sleep as well. What Avram goes to sleep for? Avram Vina was told the day before that he should take his Binchas, his Chitcha, his Yitzchak, and take it and slaughter your only son. The son who's going to be the future of Klal Yisrael. The son who's going to be the one who's going to totally change mankind and make them an Am Nivchor. Take him and sacrifice him. Sacrifice your ideals with it and everything else that you've been preaching all the way till this time. Avraham Avinu went to bed. Totally relaxed with the situation. What's the idea behind this? It says Rabbi Galinsky that HaKadosh Baruch Hu made in the world a power of Kedusha and a power of Tumah. And whenever you have Kedusha, you've got to have the Tumah. And whenever you have the Tumah, you've got to have the Kedusha. HaKadosh Baruch Hu made Bechira. HaKadosh Baruch Hu made Avraham Avinu, who had such a level of Emunah and Betachon that he could actually go to bed comfortably the night before, knowing that whatever HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants, that's for the best. And he could go to sleep. Next morning, he wakes up early with enthusiasm to do what HaKadosh Baruch Hu does, but he went to sleep. Generations later, HaKadosh Baruch Hu had to make in the world a power of Tumah, the Bechira of such a power, of such a low level of not caring about what Rosh Hashanah wants. He can allow a person to actually go to bed before he is told by Moshe Rabbeinu that he's doomed. That was the lesson behind it. The lesson behind this was Yochum Pari, because Rokul gave Pari the level, the situation, that he can reach such a level of impurity, such a level of Tumah, that he can totally disregard the word of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's why he went to sleep, because HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave him that possibility, that level of Bechira. What does that teach us? That teaches us the Yochum Pari means that in every situation we have today, and in every generation, Kedusha and Tumah work together. And the more you find the Tumah, the more you find the Kedusha, and vice versa. Where is a city in the world that has more religions connected to it? Yerushalayim. Every single crazy cult or something has some kind of bind to Yerushalayim. It has some kind of church here or temple. Or you go to the old city, even more. Every other thing is a mosque or a church or something. Why? What's Yerushalayim? Where's Christianity? I don't make things, make a few more shuls, and I don't know, what do they want from Yerushalayim? Fact is, the more the Tumah, the more the Tahara. The fact that we have today parties in Eretz Yisrael that have so much Tumah in them, that everything Kaddish, everything Torah, everything the Rebbein Shleilah, they're against, must mean that Baruch Hashem, we have in Eretz Yisrael today a tremendous amount of Kedusha that Kadosh Baruch Hu makes one against the other. Instead of looking at Shinui and Meretz and all the other various different parties as threatening Klal Yisrael, we must look at these parties as showing, as being the thermometer of showing us how much Kedusha there must be in the world, and that we may not chas v'shalom be discouraged, because Zula Umazu. We have to govern that people should recognize the Kodesh Baruch Hu, but you shouldn't be discouraged. I also want to end off with a very, very important message from Rabbi Yashiv. I saw this in the Sefer of B'Yom, I think it is, from Zilberstein, on the Rabbi Matal Chomon in Bnei Brak. He says, Rabbi Yashiv says today, because we have so many secularists who are looking to pull down Klal Yisrael, who are looking to pull down the Frumi Yidden today, we have to be so much more careful to make sure that we are more polite and more honest and clean and well mannered in order not to give them any opening for speaking out against us. The Gemara says, a Talmud Chacham Shiesh Rav Abigdoi Chayiv Misa. A Talmud Chacham has a stain on his clothes, his Chayiv Misa. Because if somebody sees him, he doesn't see him, he sees Rebbeinu Shleilam. And he sees Rebbeinu Shleilam in a negative light. If we, chas v'shalom, are walking in the street and we're not as polite as we should be, not by the standards of Mount Stas, but the standards of the ultimate standards of Rebbeinu Shleilam expects from us, chas v'shalom, things are very, very bad. And on the contrary, if we mekadosh Shem Shemayim, if we understand that everything in this world is for the Kvod Shem Shemayim, and we work that way, And we understand that the mitzvahs are here, not because we understand them. The mitzvahs are here because HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave them to us. And we understand that only through doing mitzvahs, Torah mitzvahs, can we possibly reach a level that we root through B'nai Chayrin, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will give us Elish and the ultimate Chayrus of B'yas Gold Tzedek.
I realised that he couldn't do anything about the uncomfortable. And then
what?
The end of the world, you know.